Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour, the third Saturday of the month. We have notes from the nursery, and generally speaking, Jay Harper is in studio with us, but he's actually out traveling this month, and because we had citrus slated, we thought, well, it's not really a tree, but our tree guy, it's just a shrub, but our tree guy knows just about as much about citrus as anybody, so we've got John Eisenhower back in studio with us, and I really don't remember why we put citrus in March. You know, our calendars get printed, it was almost a year ago now, because you're kind of at the end of most ripening, and we try and time our topics with what's ripening and ready, but they're in bloom. Citrus are in bloom.
Well, it's one of those kind of conflicts because you've got trees that are coming in bloom, but they still, a lot of them have fruit on them. So you got to kind of be careful at this time when your trees are putting on bloom, not to knock a lot of the bloom off, because then you're going to have a limited harvest next year. Because that fruit is setting and it sets on those blossoms. So you need to be careful that you don't knock all those blossoms off while you're
still harvesting the old fruit last year.
But no, we have citrus that can be ripe as, you know, oranges that can be ripe as early as October. And then you've got other citrus varieties that can be ripening as late as May. So you kind of got to know your varieties to know when to pick them. We had this one tree in our yard that I say, this is a crappy orange tree. But it was only that it was a late ripening orange, you know, and it was beautiful. Now that we know that, we just let that one go and start picking it in May. So we let it go through its entire bloom cycle. So that'll have a lot of little tiny new fruits on it for next year when we're picking it for the current season. But we wait until about May, and it's super sweet then. And it's actually one of the sweetest trees we have. And we used to think it was the lousiest tree. But it's really, really nice. So, yeah, the Valencias and Arizona sweets the Valencia is an early ripening orange, and the Arizona sweets are that late season. So if you've got a couple of those in your yard, you can have basically citrus all season long.
All year long?
All year long, yeah.
Now, that is true, but is it citrus you'll eat all year long?
Well, that's just it. We've got quite a few citrus trees. We kind of overplanted, but we do a lot of juicing now. We went ahead and invested in one of those better quality juicers that has a handle that that gives you some leverage, and it's fast. And we can juice, a gallon of juice in probably, 15 minutes. After you've, of course, sliced all your oranges, and we kind of get a counter full of all the citrus that's been washed and ready, and we slice them all, and then we put them on the cutting board and start just juicing away, and it's pretty cool. We put them in just those quart jars and just put them in our freezer. We have an upright freezer that we put our elk and deer meat in, and we got a lot.
And your citrus juice.
And our citrus and our palm. We juice pomegranates, too. I've got a customer who's got a big pomegranate tree, and we juice them just like we juice our citrus. We just cut them in half and juice away. And that pomegranate juice is just so rich in antioxidants and just really very healthy. And then we'll take a lot of the juice during the year. We'll take a jar out of the pomegranate juice and thaw it, and then pour it into ice cube trays. And then we put those little ice cubes of pomegranate juice and drop those in a glass of water. And it's just, a beautiful way to infuse some water with juice. But it's a way of trying to utilize all the juice that you have. You can't consume all the citrus in a season because you've got too many pieces of fruit. But if you can start juicing it, it's worth the investment to think about getting that extra freezer to try to put up some food for use later during the year. And it's, it gives us a way of stretching that juice all through the entire year.
Now, do you ever mix any of your juices? I have found that, you know, one tree, you know, if we're just doing this orange tree, or we're just doing this grapefruit tree, or they can be a very overpowering flavor and a little acidy too. But if you mix them a little bit, they kind of blend each other out.
Yeah, that's a great idea, some orange and grapefruit juice together. You know, I've actually used some orange juice and apple juice. I know some other folks who do apple and lemon juice. And it's just a really nice way to cut some of the acidity of the lemonade with a little apple juice, and just really cool combinations you can have out there. In fact, you know, whenever you go to a hotel, they've got that little breakfast bar for the free breakfast in the morning. They usually have that little machine with the apple and the orange juice. I always get double, you know, combine those two, get the apple and the orange together. It's a nice little combination.
I hadn't tried cross variety stone fruit and citrus mix, but we do a lot with the citrus because we've got 8 citrus trees, so we'll pick every time it's different. You know, we'll come back and make our breakfast drink, and every day it's different. You know, sometimes and it depends on the ripening too. We've got, you know, one grapefruit that's got this huge, massive, thick rind, but very little juice inside. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the pink ladies that have very small rind, but just full of juice. Just kind of mix them together, and you taste it and like, it might too strong of one flavor. Yeah. So you cut up a couple oranges and blend it out.
Well, speaking about
and then all those rinds, we just go throw back under the tree. And I mean, I know we could do a better job composting them and then spreading the compost out, but we just throw them straight underneath the tree and let them
they're so full of oils. Right, they're really hard. They actually, you know, dry out like a piece of rock. They're really hard to put into compost. They don't break down very easily. Maybe the ones that are more fleshy, like the grapefruit, might be easier, but the oranges are tougher. But, you know, speaking of rinds, there are some ways you can use the rind. You can use your peels, put it in some vinegar, and make a vinaigrette out of it. You can just add some orange juice to your vinegar. You can also take the rind and put it into, soak it in some extra virgin olive oil, so you get some infused olive oil with some of the oils are released from the orange peel into the oil, and you've got this really nice little infused extra virgin olive oil. You can also infuse honey using some orange peel as well. And, of course, you can make orange marmalade. There's lots of recipes out there for using that rind from it. Of course, your zest from all of your citrus is really cool for cooking purposes.
Now I want some biscuits with that orange marmalade.
You know what I saw, Gary?
What's that?
I went to a restaurant, and it was the Hudson restaurant in Sedona. Those of you who know the Hudson, and the owner is Mark Chagrou, and a good friend of mine. He had his chef make us a dessert, and it was a grapefruit grilled with maple syrup.
Ooh.
And you take the maple syrup, drizzle it on to the grapefruit half, turn it upside down on the grill, and oh my goodness, it was really, really good. The maple syrup caramelized on the grill, mixed with that tart grapefruit. I tried it at home, and it was not such a great success. But I'm going to keep working at it because I know there's a secret to it, you know. But no, that's there's really a lot of great cooking culinary uses for our citrus here in Arizona.
And when did citrus first come to Arizona? You know, and it came over from Asia.
Yeah, it started in China, is where most all of our citrus originated. I'm not sure when it came to America. I know that as early as the 1800s, for sure. We have stories of that. But in fact, Arizona has quite a long storied history of citrus. Of course, it's one of the 5 C's. In Arizona, you've got your citrus, your cotton, your copper, your cattle, and your climate are the 5 C's that kind of drove Arizona's economy. But, you know, Arizona's citrus heyday was between the 50s and the 70s, 1950s, 1970. That was when we used a lot of, we grew a lot of citrus from Yuma all the way to Phoenix. But it became a lot more, it was using land for citrus was not that valuable. What became more valuable was what?
Developers.
To developers, exactly. So that's where all of our citrus orchards, unfortunately, have gone. Except for little places, there's, you know, still a lot
Yuma
of citrus
still.
Down in Yuma. Yeah. And there's still, you know, there's lots of groves up in Queen Creek and here in the Arcadia area. There's still some groves that are around and out in Mesa. But you don't see as much as there used to be years ago. It's just, it's kind of sad. But
and I love them because they're such good producers, and you only need two or three, and you don't need a lot of space with the dwarf varieties that they've grafted. You know, almost anybody, even with the tiniest of yard, can get a citrus tree in and have produce right out the back door or the front door.
Yeah, you mentioned that they are, you know, technically considered a shrub. Some of our listeners would say, I got more than a shrub in my yard, because they've got some of these citrus, like the lemons and the grapefruit, can actually be pretty, pretty big trees.
Well, but, and then there's the Hotel City Tucson. They've got a two-story building in the back. You walk out on the second story, and you're still looking up at the top of the citrus. They're still massive, but they've got a microclimate that they've built around. And
but to your point, there's citrus of every size. You can get little dwarf varieties. We've got this little dwarf a tangerine tree. It's only about, you know, 4 feet tall, and it's got eight. It finally had its first eight fruits this year. They're still hanging on there. I mean, I'm waiting for them to get loose so I can. I don't want to pick them until they're ready. But that's pretty cool when you can have these little smaller trees that go in a small little spot. You can also container grow them too if you've got a patio. That's a really great option, actually. If you get a large container, you know, probably at least a couple feet across, that can hold maybe 20, 30 gallons of soil, and put a citrus in there, and it can last you many, many years. And you can move it in and off the patio, get it out in the sun, and in the real heat of the summer, you can kind of pull it back in and give it a little more shade, so it only gets partial sun during the day. And a lot of people container grow their citrus and in very small places, even apartments. If you've got a little balcony out on your apartment, you know, you can have a little citrus out there too.
And you had mentioned something I wanted you to elaborate on after the break, on you're waiting for it to feel right before you pick it. What I want you to dive into that. How do you know when to pull it off the tree?